you seize what you get, and it's not perfect yet, but praise God, someday I will be. And someday, boys and little girl, wherever she went, if you have Jesus Christ, you will be. There's a perfect part started in our hearts when Jesus comes in. Praise God for that. And I'm so glad to know that. Every time I do something, I know I'm not perfect, but I know I have a perfect God. And I think it does a lot to me, but it also helps me to see others' faults and failures and say, well, you know, we're all in an imperfect world and we're imperfect, but we've got a perfect spot in our heart for Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, we are looking at several scriptures, but we started there in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. And Jeremy preached mostly to us men. I'm preaching mostly to all of us, and particularly to mothers. And I heard my mother say to my oldest brother when he came home from military leave one time, and he was a first sergeant of a company. And the conversation got around, and we were all congratulating Mom. She always could put a meal on the table was fit for a king. I didn't even know it. I ran away from home because I didn't want to eat any more of her biscuits. I wanted to eat light bread. Didn't take much of that light bread to make me want to go back home and eat biscuits. And now they heard about it at Bob Evans, and they make them just specially for me. They're not quite like Mama's, but they're pretty close, and the gravy has to go with it. It took me about 20 years to make my wife understand when you make biscuits, you got to have gravy. And when you make gravy, you got to have biscuits. The two has to go together where I come from. But I remember my mother saying to my older brother, well, I hope you don't say anything to your wife like, well, you can't cook like Mom. He said, Mom, I never bring you up in a conversation with my wife. But he said, when my military people show up in dirty clothes, I said, look, my mama scrubbed clothes on a washboard, and we always had clean clothes to put on. Now, you can scrub those clothes out some way and put them on. Amen. So I have lots of memories, Mom. So I wouldn't want to try to compare her in the day that we live to anything that's going on today. I wouldn't put such a heavy burden on people. 12 children never went hungry. 12 children never went dirty to school. We never stepped out of the house when our hair wasn't combed. I had some back then. And we never stepped out of the house when our shoes weren't shined. We didn't wear the same shoes we wore out in a plow patch to town or in front of other people. And she always made sure my dad was dressed properly when he went to town. And it's hard to take my mother and compare her to anything that we got going today. But we want to look at a wife and a mother. And in Proverbs, and I think Jeremy may refer to it, but I like this verse. One of the smartest and wisest things a man can do is find a good wife, according to Proverbs 18:22. It says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And, you know, we in today's society, we check a car out. We check a house out. We check everything out we're going to get. But the first thing that grins at us or walks down the street, we think, oh, well, I'm in love with that and we're going to get married. How stupid. He said, find it. That means you work and work and look and look and make sure. Now, is this really what I want? And I always said to my kids, if you want to know what your wife's going to be like, go and watch her mother. Check her mother out. See what she's like. Because in a few years, that's exactly what she's going to be like. And I say, the girls, you want to know what your husband's going to look like? Look at that fat, bald-headed man over there. That's what you're going to have in a few years. And if you're not in love with a fat, bald-headed man, you better start getting there if you're going to marry him. Amen? And I'm serious. I mean, it is humorous, but, you know, it's the truth and fact of life. When people are saying, oh, I just don't love him anymore. Well, where did it stop? Where did it stop at? Did it ever really start? Was there ever really a beginning to it? Or you decided it was something to do? He says in Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? And I'll end with this verse later on. But notice what it says. For her price is far above rubies. We have, and listen, I want to say from the outset, and I want to make this plain. And I know World War II started a lot of getting our mothers out of the homes and into the workforce because we had a war. And I think the women who stepped out and worked in our factories during World War II, and some of you don't even know what that was about, I think they had as much to do as the soldiers that were dying on foreign soils and raising the kids that some of them left behind. I think it would, and if a woman can do that, but if you are a mother, your first responsibility is to be a mother. And if you can juggle your schedule and work a job, and I would be the first boss to say, if you're doing as much as a man, then you ought to get paid as much as a man. But if you are a mother, your first responsibility as a mother, and as already been said from this pulpit this morning, if you're a father, then you ought to love and support a woman like that. You ought to be willing to change the baby's diapers. By the way, it washes off men, and the smell goes away. You know, I've seen men hold the baby like this and say, I think he's dirty. Well, how stupid? How stupid can a man be to say something like that? Well, find the bathroom and get the tools and go to work. Amen? Who can find her price as far? He's saying that there is not a price that we could put on the wife of a home if she's the wife she's supposed to be. There isn't enough money to complain that. I know, and we have some in our family. I make more than my husband. Well, lolly-dolly and ring-a-ding, too. How is it doing with the house? How is it getting along in the house? How is it with the kids? How is it with your husband? And is your home just pulling and shattering apart? Jesus and the God and the Bible puts that as a prime example of what's needed in a home. A Mildenbach. We already think that the man is the man. And I love these men that just think that they can say whatever they want to say, and this is what the wife's supposed to do. I don't get that stuff from the Bible. And he went on to say, if a man has that kind of wife, in verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And I have to disagree, for those of you that were here, with a little bit with Jeremy, what he said. I mean, I don't even get to find 29. My wife just takes care of it all. And I like the way, somebody said, you let your wife have the check? Absolutely. She does a better job than I do. I'd be stupid to mess that up. I mean, I write a check and don't know who I wrote it to and how much before, and I hadn't put it in the book yet. So I'm always in trouble. I like a wife that takes care of all that stuff. And when I need $500 or $800 to get that gun, I got it. And I do the opposite psychology of you. I don't say I want to buy a gun. I say it like this. I was thinking about this real light gun I'd like to have. But, I know we could never afford it. There's just no way. No way. My wife looks at me and says, you want that gun, you get that gun. So I'm a little bit older than you. You need to listen. Just do the reverse psychology and be a little smarter. That he preached about wisdom this morning. I've gotten a little bit over the years. And that I've got from those kind of situations. But a husband can trust in a wife like that. I don't want to tell you any sad stories, but we could write a book about husbands who have found out that their wives weren't what they're supposed to be. So I want to start with what a mother should be. And I'm going to kind of tie this in because we kind of got our schedule on the Holy Spirit. And I was going along there, and then all of a sudden I give Dan one to do, and he did it, and I got one more to do. And I want to say to the ladies and to the husbands, everybody here this morning, how can any woman match up to what the Bible says she ought to be? And I want to tell you, write this down. The Holy Spirit of God working through her will make her exactly what the man needs and what God needs and what God wants. No woman can do that. Oh, yes. You don't know. We don't know. By the way, I'm probably say some things that maybe some of you won't tie in this morning. But I think a crisis in the life of a family and a crisis in the life of a church will either bring that church closer together or will tear it apart. It depends on what you're made of and what you've got in the church and what you've got in the people in the church. I've never seen the response of love in my ministry, and that's been over 50 years that we've seen in this church. Not just this past week, but the entire week. And when we take up offerings for missionaries, and when we try to support missionaries, and we decide to do a work, and when we decide to do something, we do it. We may have our disagreements, but once it's decided we're going to do it, we do it. And God says, go for it. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. No church can get along on, well, I don't know. I think we can, or I hope we can. It's when we get on our knees and pray and say, God, this is what we want to do. So the lack of the Holy Spirit and the talk of it and the preaching of it, which we started and begun, and what Dan filled in with it last, but the Holy Spirit working in the life of a woman. My mother raised 12 children. She left my dad one time when she was pregnant with me over his drinking. My dad drank till almost his dying day. About a year before he died, when he found out he had prostate cancer, he gave up his cigarette and his booze. He bought a little Dodge Dart, 1964. They were living in Arkansas, and he drove over a good part of the United States, going to every one of his children's house and telling them what a miserable wreck of a dad had been. And I can remember saying to my mother, "Mom, why don't you get us a place and let's just leave Dad with the stuff he's doing?" And she said, "John, I can't do that." I'm glad my mother stuck to it. What could make her do that? What could make her do that? The Holy Spirit of God that she believed in strengthened her, taking a little woman, about 119 pounds, and making her into the giant of a woman that could scrub clothes, dig stuff out of the garden, put it on the plate, and serve a crew that had come to help us farm on the farm. How could she do all that and wash all the clothes on a scrub board and dry them when they were winter and froze on the line? I can tell you, only the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, you can't do nothing. Amen. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." But he said, "With me, you can do all things." Paul said, "With Christ, I can do all things. He strengthens me." We need the strength and power of God. So these are not out of reach. These are in reach with the power of Spirit. He says, a mother is a woman who loves her children and her husband. They're in Titus 4:4. That they may teach. You know, mother-in-laws, grandmas, older ladies can be a blessing or they can be a curse on homes. The best thing you can do if you've got son-in-law and daughter-in-laws is tell them to get in there and love each other. And if they want to fight, shut the doors and fight it out and keep it their business and nobody else's business. When we start dragging all of our troubles and going to people and talking about our husband or our wife or our family or our daughter-in-law to someone else, we're doing nothing but building up anger, hurt, for us for the rest of our life. When we said, "Till death do us part," we're joining together, that should be what we meant, and stick with it. Thick or thin, the gravy can get mighty thin, the fighting can get rough, but you just stay in there with God and the Holy Spirit, and God will bring you through victorious, and you'll be like my mother. You'll never be sorry that you did it. 119-pound woman had just had brain surgery, was laying on her hospital bed in a hospital, been through a coma. Woman come in, nurse threw the pan down, banged the pan down. My mother shook in the bed. She said, "Don't make so much racket. I'm not quite awake yet." Woman said, "Oh, honey, don't worry about that." About that time, she come up out of the bed, whap, hip to the 200-pound nurse. She went scooting about as far as the door out in the hall. My sister-in-law was apologizing to her later. My sister-in-law said, "I'm sorry that our mother hit you." She said, "Oh, don't worry, honey." She warned me first. I didn't believe her, but I didn't think that 119 woman could get out of that bed and hit me that hard, but she did. So I've got no one to blame but myself. Amen. My mother was capable of whatever she put her mind to. She could pick me up off the ground. She could take me right by the back of the neck like a dog gets a puppy and gently guide me to something, or she could pick me up and shake me even after I was a grown man. That was what mother was. So I can't compare. He says that we're supposed to support the home, not try to tear it down. We're supposed to give it God's love. We're supposed to give it God's condolence. We're supposed to give it help. We're supposed to give it a push. We're supposed to give it a shove. We're supposed to say, "Hang in there. It's going to get better. Keep pushing at it." We do everything except work these days. We think we push a button to start the coffee. We push a button to start the scrambled egg. We need to understand it takes work to make a home, and a wife and a mother has to work and work, and the rest of us have to work to support that wife and mother making that home. And when somebody decides that they're going to be God's parent, we need to let them be God's parent. The government don't own our children. It doesn't take a city to raise a child. It takes a mom and dad to raise a child. I'm so sick of the government coming out with everything. And everybody's got to run to somebody else and talk to somebody else about their problems. You need to talk to Jesus about your problems. We want to tell everybody else what is wrong with us. And would you want to do that? Sit down and talk to a total stranger? What's wrong with you? I felt like grabbing somebody yesterday and choking them to death. You think I'm going to go and tell some counselor that? But as many times during the day, I do feel that way. And I'm telling the whole church and telling them all. But I mean, are we going to go around and spread all of our worst things about us? When did that become popular to tell everything that's bad about it? Tell them to Jesus. Tell Jesus. Tell him. Jesus, you know I've got hatred. You know I've got anger. You know I've got hurt. You know I'm tore up. I want you to cleanse me inside with thy spirit and make me the person, the father, the mother, the whoever I'm supposed to be. And then if you're a boss and you got employees, I know you've had that feeling, right? Right? If you didn't, you didn't get much done, I can tell you that. People are people. We're all people. We come in different sizes. And, you know, Hollywood paints us all with a lot of flowing hair and physique and smile and proper teeth and, you know, everything. But they don't come like that. Some of them come fat, short, skinny. Some of them ugly. Some of them cute in one way and ugly. You ever notice how the ugliest dog always looks cute? You ever notice that? And girls notice that. They'll say, ain't that puppy cute? He looks so ugly to me. Thinking, how can he look? But that's how. By the way, this guy said when he got to heaven, he asked Jesus, he said, how come you made us to where we love women? He said, because I wanted you to love them. He said, well, how you made them sweet and nice. He said, so you could love them. He said, well, how come you made them so sweet? He said, so they could love you. So, you know, we're all in this game, and we're all not the same. A mother's a woman that is neither a busybody nor a gossiper. As a pastor, trust me, and write this down somewhere that I said it. You don't have to agree with it, but before you get to heaven, you'll be sure. I love these people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. You're not going to ask God. He's going to say, bow down. And he's not even going to have to say it. When you see him, you're going to bow down. Amen. You don't have to bow here. You don't have to come to this altar. You don't have to pray. But I promise you, whether you're going to hell or heaven, one place you will. You'll get on your knees before God Almighty, and you'll confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And every time you've defied him, and every time you've rejected him, and every time you've disobeyed him, he'll be shouting it out in your ears. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to get ready for the trip, because a plane could be leaving any moment. From what I see on the horizon, I don't think we have much time left. But this busybody stuff, this garbage stuff has got to stop. In the 50-some years, I've seen more family homes, more churches run because somebody couldn't wait to tell somebody something they thought they knew. Write that down. That'll tear up more churches, more homes, more lives than anything I know. Just can't wait to tell somebody something you think that you know to somebody you don't even know. Isn't it crazy? Just because you think you got to tell it. How would it be if we just said, well, I heard that too, but you know, I'm just waiting to let God sort that out. I don't think we ought to be spreading that kind of stuff. I don't think we ought to. Somebody said, well, it's true. Well, in the first place, it may be and it may not. And it doesn't matter if it is true. It doesn't help to spread hurtful news to people to get somebody else in trouble. We fight like dogs. We use our mouths. If we really think somebody's got a bad ship that's coming in or sending one out, we ought to go to them and say, hey, I need to talk to you in private about something in your life that's not right. Be a man or a woman about it. Be honest about it. Don't be a dog and go over here and bark to somebody else about it. Amen? He says in 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other man's matters. Amen. You know, my mom said, John, don't try to sweep somebody else's front porch until you get your own back porch swept. You understand that kind of talk? And I think we have way too much of that. Did you see how much weight she's gained since we last saw her? Well, lolly don, a ring duty, just more to hug and more to love, huh? Right? What's wrong with people? And he's lost all of his hair. Well, that cuts down on the time in front of the mirror. You know, washcloth and a rub and you're on your way to go. And you look cool, man. You're in style some of the time in some places. Right? What's wrong with people? What is wrong with people? To pretend that he's that ugly puppy and love him anyway. Amen? Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Billy Graham said we could take one word and hang anybody. Did you hear what he said? You know, we take people's words and make them say things they didn't say or meant to say. And make it sound bad on them. And we all slip up and say a wrong word one time. I mean, English has got so many words that are spelled different but pronounced the same, and some are spelled the same and pronounced different. Desert and dessert, I don't know. I still don't have that figured out. When I'm trying to spell them, and my spell check won't tell me which one. It just tells me one of them. It don't tell me which one's right. You know what? Isn't it crazy? And people get so hung up on stupid things. And he said that. A lady said to me one time, "You used the wrong verb tense this morning." I said, "Just once?" "Just once?" I said, "What did I say before I used the wrong verb tense?" She said, "I don't remember." I said, "What did I say after I used the wrong verb tense?" She says, "I don't remember." I said, "It's a good thing I used the wrong verb tense. You wouldn't hurt anything, would you?" Love it. I mean, people are nuts over things that don't matter. He says, he that, in Proverbs 10:18, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In a multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." We gain a lot of wisdom by just keeping our mouth shut sometimes, especially if we don't know what it's about. If we start a conversation, somebody's talking about something, "Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll tell you what I heard that sounds makes it sound like it almost is. And you know, where there's smoke, there's fire." That isn't always true. That isn't always true. The smoke means it's not getting enough oxygen. By the way, I was trained in the third best, they call it there, the third best city fire department in the United States, Dayton, Ohio. Supposed to be Los Angeles was first at that time, and New York City, and we were supposed to be third. The first, there's three elements you got to get away from the fire. You got to get the fuel away, you got to get the oxygen away, and you got to get the heat away. And if it's got heat and fuel but no oxygen, then it's just smoking. And that's why you can tell some people when they go, "I'll tell you what," they don't have a real story. They got a lot of oxygen. I mean, got everything but the oxygen, right? Got COPD, I guess, whatever that is. You know, you can tell who's got it and who's not. The people laugh and know what it is. The people don't, they don't care. A mother is a teacher of the things of God. The first place, people say, "Well, we threw the Bible out of school. What do we think it's going to do?" I'm not dependent on a school to teach my kid the Bible. They don't even know what's going on that's right and wrong, let alone the Bible. The first place, mama ought to teach them in the morning. I can remember we tried to have devotions every morning before our boys got to school. You try to get boys in clothes and get them all out of the shower and that, and mama's stirring up pancakes and fixing them. This actually happened at our house. And we're waiting on the oldest. He had just turned, I think, 17 or 18. Started noticing girls. And he's trying to let his hair grow some, and we took care of that. But he was trying to fix it. My wife said, "It's time to get to the table. Breakfast is ready." I'm sitting there patting my foot, holding the Bible, and the other kids are looking at the pancakes. "Can we, can we, can we, can we?" Second time, "Come to the table. Breakfast is ready." "I'm coming." I said, "Get in here now." "Come to the table. I'm coming." "I know you are." Wooden spoon. She's stirring the pancakes with. Had him by the hair of the head, bringing him down the hall. Whap, 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 whap. "Sit down. Now we're going to pray and have a devotion." I said, "Praise God. Blood dripping. We got the blood. Oh, my goodness." When mama said, "Get to the table, get to the table." Oh, brutality. No. Just hugged his mama last night before he went back to Alabama and said, "Mama, love you." We're crazy. We've listened to the world tell us so many crazy stories, we believe them. We believe what the world said. "Oh, you got to tell the child how much you love him before you whip him." Well, if I went through that, I'd never whip him. Man, I got to be mad when I whip. I got to be really upset about it. God gets upset with us. The Bible says God's angry with sinners every day. He's angry because we sinned, and he's going to beat the snot out of us. And that's what we need to do to our kids if we want them to grow up. I'm sick of this stuff that we think we've got to have all this nice textbook and read a psychology book and page four and page this and never do it in front of the other children and never do it more than once a day and never do this and always find something to compliment him on. Wow. They're nuts. Look what kind of children they produced.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
Our children are on drugs. They're in prisons. And we're still listening to them. Oh, we just got to do so much for them. Just got to make them know that I make them know they love, but they got a bed to sleep in. They got food to eat. I hug them when they're right. I spank them when they're not. And I keep on doing that. And one day they're going to look at you, maybe in your casket, but they'll look at you and say, Dad, Mom, I really loved you. I hated my dad. But when I got to be a dad, all of a sudden things changed. And when my dad died, broke my heart. Yeah. It doesn't take all that stuff. That's what we're trying to do. They won't love me if I don't bring them home from work. My kid will be upset. Mom, what did you bring me? I brought myself. I brought a body that's been working all day for you and your little honey to provide you for a room and food on the table. I brought something for you to take care of you, to pay for the heat while your daddy's away working at another job trying to make the mortgage on his house. That shows I love you. Amen. We've let the world tell us how to do it. A mother should be the teacher of the things of God. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Mama should be telling her kids that. Number four, a mother prays with and for her children. The Bible says in Luke 2:19, when the angel of God had told Mary all the things, it said, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was praying for a child before it wasn't even born. She wanted to be the kind of mother God wanted to be, and God knew that. That's why she became the mother, the earthly mother. And the child that you bring into this, and the children that you bring into this life, every life is put here for a season, for something. It may be short, it may be long, we don't know. But God expects you, Mom, to be the first one to get that child headed in the right direction. God expects that of you. And husbands, you heard it this morning, He expects you to support Mom in doing that. Amen. I don't need 14 toys and an ATV to haul them around in. I don't need all that stuff. So my wife will go out and wear a short skirt and work at some shop that some guy's trying to make a pass at her. I need her at home with my kids. Amen. Yes, sir. Again, if she has to work, then you ought to support her. And by the way, it's nice when the wife puts the clothes on and looks in the mirror, then looks at her husband and says, do I look all right? And by the way, goofy husband, it's all right. She says, come here when you got your tie like this. And we're going to Sunday school. Really, really. It's okay to look like a man. And it's all right to dress up for her mother's activities. We're going to my mom's, put something clean on. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I don't care about your mother, she thinks. Then somebody ought to jump up and just slap the tire out of you. If you can't dress up for your wife once in a while, you got something wrong. You need a psychiatrist. And I'm the best one in town.
Amen.
Number five, a mother gives her children to Jesus. Give your children to Jesus. Tell them the stories. We sang that song about the old book. Show the kids in there, because one day they're going to need Jesus and they need to know how to find him, know how you found him. In Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. One of the things Pastor Hodge prayed when I got here was, let's use these buildings for the kids so we can tell them about Jesus. And I've tried to keep that and it's hard work, and you all know it's hard work, and we work hard at doing that. And downstairs, I hope they're getting it too, because we want them to know about Jesus Christ, because they're going to hear everything about everything else over there. And we have them for a short time. And listen to me, moms and dads, take it from experience. You're going to look back in a few years and think, boy, I had them a short time. And what were you doing that short time? Fighting with their daddy? Fighting with their mother? Fighting with them? My goodness, you better do what you're going to do and do it quick. You better do it with all your might and all your soul and do it as unto the Lord. And again, may I say to you, this sermon is about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will enable you if you'll say, God, I don't know how to do this. As I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps me to pray. God, your Holy Spirit, give me the strength, the wisdom to know what to do. We have a man in Washington. His name escapes me. He's the black guy that was running for president. He's now on the president's staff. His mother had a third grade education, raised him and his brother in Detroit and in Boston in the suburbs. And she made them shut the television off and come off the street and get down and read a book and do a book report. And then when they handed her the book report, she didn't know what was right or wrong, but she redlined and told them what was wrong, get back in there and do it again. And he became one of the smartest men, a brain surgeon. How about that? How about that? Don't tell me you can't. You don't need somebody telling you you can't teach your children. You teach them. You teach them. So that when some idiot's trying to tell your daughter, oh, have an affair, if you get pregnant, you can get an abortion. You need to be telling them that's sin, that's wrong. And you need to tell them if they say it, slap their mouth when they say it. Right. I'm telling you, we're letting the insane run the asylum. Yeah. It's got so out of control. I got a dog that I can walk the line right now around my house and never touch the beaver. Looks there. Come here. You can teach a dog to do that, and you can't teach your children. You have to zap them pretty hard once in a while, but once you get them zapped, you don't have to anymore. The twins came down the stairs. They was giving their mother trouble. She was a single parent. She said, what you want for breakfast? I want some blankety-blank oatmeal. Whap, 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 whap. Over in the corner, blood dripping down. Next one comes popping down the stairs. What do you want for breakfast? I sure don't want any oatmeal. Amen? You don't have to do it so much and so often if you do it the right time in the beginning. Yes, sir. Oh, you're mean. Yeah. All those mean kids still tell me they love me. They all called me. John from Texas sent big flowers to the funeral. Wayne sent his. They call me, are you all right, Dad? I like my way better than the way that's got the kids. I don't care whether you like it or not. I'm going with him tonight, and we're going fishing, and I don't care if you like it or not, Mom. When I was a young pastor, I was out pastoring and visiting on home and walked to this house. The screen door banged, and some 16-year-old come darting out the door, had hair, looked like he was black, and he was white, and he's bouncing out the door and turned around and said a few cuss words back in the door. And his mother stood there and looked at me and she said, what am I supposed to do? I said, what you should have done was 16 years ago. But I said, now it's going to take a lot of what you should have done. You should have done once. Now you got to do it a whole bunch of times. And I said, I'll hold him if you'll hit him. I'll go catch him and bring him back to you. I tell the kids back there at the door when they're giving their mom says, I say, I want you to know something. I'm on her side. Amen? We need to support one another in the things of God. A mother is the keeper of the home. If she wants the kitchen walls white, paint them white. She wants them chartreuse green, paint them green. If she wants a bathroom on the third floor, put it on the third floor. I ain't spending my money like that. Yes, you better. Better to spend your money like that than to find out one day you don't have anybody to spend it with. Amen? You're here for a while to do what you need to do. Proverbs 31:27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. How can you tear a home like that down? You can't. When God gets in there and you're doing all you're supposed to do and God and the Holy Spirit's working in you and in that home, you're going to have a home and not a house. And you can build a big house. We'll go driving in when we go visit some of our kids. They live in these big, rich, fancy areas and got three-story houses and 16 cars, garages, and they're all stuffed with kids' plastic toys. And everybody says, what a beautiful home. I said, no, it's just a house. You can have a home with a 2x4 shack, sit on nail kegs, and eat off of out of hubcaps and still have a home. But you can have the finest thing in town and be nothing but a hell on earth. Make it a home. Boy, we got to get going here. Some of these mothers want to go eat. Been promised to take them out today, right? And if your husband ain't taking you out, you can go with Charlotte and I'll take all of you out, okay? Some of the husbands said, okay, that's okay with me. Just kidding. I better back up on that one. Mothers give wisdom to their children. You don't read and get understanding, get wisdom. You get wisdom from life and time. And it takes time with your children. It takes time with God to get wisdom. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." That's the best wisdom you'll get from mom and dad. I thought my mom and dad had come off of the ark or something. The things they used to say to me. I didn't say them when dad was around. Once in a while, I'd say it when mother was there, and she'd just give me a look like, "One more stuff of that, and I'll slap the taste out of your mouth." Hey, the worst, I think I've told you, but I need to tell you this again. You kids think you've been disciplined. My mother washed clothes with lye soap. Does anybody know what lye soap is? Well, usually don't. See those that do, and they'll tell you. And I didn't know mom was around. And I was doing something, and I let out a word that's a bad word. Actually, it's hooked up two or three words. All of a sudden, my head went back. I had hair then. And that's why I don't have hair. Mom took that bar of soap. She was scrubbing, and she stuck it in my mouth, fist and all, turned it around twice and jerked it out. Said, "Now say that again." "I can't say nothing, Mom. My mouth is on fire." Good. If you say it again, that's just a little dose of what you're going to get. I never cursed after that in front of my mother. Never. Never. And if your kid does it to you, I suggest you do the same thing, and I'll go find you some lye soap to keep at the house so you'll have it for such occasion if you need to. Wisdom. That's one of the wisest things my mother ever did for me. And my dad was a curser. And he told us, "Curse the mules. They'll work better." But he said, "Don't you ever curse in front of your mother or your sister." Strange stuff, but that's what my dad thought. So we didn't. So I had mom telling me and dad telling me. And my dad also told me, if you're at school and some boy curses in front of your sister or says something dirty to your sister, you better knock him down right there, because if you don't and I find out, I'm going to knock you down. We were raised like that. Good. Respect of women. Amen. Godliness. In a crude way for people, but it was there. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep my father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." A mother will provide wisdom for her children. Wisdom is what we need. We don't need more books. I got more out of a one-room school than I got out of a two-story, three-story high school. All I learned to do there was get in trouble. And that was back in 1956. But a little old one-room school that we had to walk 2 miles to get to in West Virginia, we got it. First thing we had to do was stand up and sing a few patriotic songs, salute the flag. And if we brushed our teeth, we went over and put a star by the sign. And when I was teaching school, I used to think about that, and some kid would come up, and his breath about gagged me, and I'd think, "Did you brush your teeth this morning?" But I wasn't allowed to ask that. "You're implying something terrible. You're implying that maybe he didn't brush his teeth." "Yeah, I am. He stinks. Got bad breath." You know what I mean? So we got a star by our name for brushing our teeth. And one day when they grow up and have to go to the dentist and get them all yanked out, what they got left, they'll be glad that somebody made them brush their teeth. Mother teaches stuff like that. Oh, I like the one when she said, "Put on some clean underwear, because if you're in a wreck, I don't want anybody thinking my child wore dirty underwear." Wow. That takes a while, but you understand, right? That's what mom said. I can hear her saying it right now. Don't go to school with dirty underwear on. Smart stuff. Some of these kids wearing them halfway down to their knees and behind, you don't know if they even got any underwear on. Don't even have a mom that knows or cares. Or lets what mother would let her child go out like that, showing the worst part of his body to the whole world? I mean, somebody doesn't have any sense, right? "Oh, it's my life, my body, I can do what I want." No, God gave you that body and you misuse it, and one of these days God will catch up with you. Well, I said I'd close with this verse, so I'm closing. What is a mother worth? We've paid a big price not to have mothers. And Jeremy put it well this morning. We've pushed them to the forefront and said, and the women's movement said, if you aren't smarter than your husband, if you aren't making as much or more, then you're not treated right. You gotta work, and we've made them think that's the most prestigious place a woman can be is when those darlings and those children and their children are calling you mother and grandmother. That's the most precious thing. Who can find her? We're going to have to search to find her. for a wife, for a mother, for the mother of your children. Amen?
Amen.
You know, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I've said that every sermon I preached on the Holy Spirit in the last three or four Sundays and the one Dan preached. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have Christ in your life. Because the Bible says, if you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. So maybe you need to get saved. You know, we need revival like we've never needed. We need people saved again, talking like people. You know, you can hear mom and dad going down the aisle in a shop market or through the parking lot and they're both screaming at each other and calling each other names and little children being dragged along. You're thinking, what's going to happen? Is it any wonder they shoot each other and shoot us? Is it any wonder? We're training them to be animals. They just act like animals. Instead of singing some happy choruses or dad holding one, mom holding one, or holding them by the hands. My God, help us. My God, help us. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the blessed hope that Noah and Nathan was saved and that he's in heaven. Regardless of the circumstances surrounding his death and his life, knowing those many trips we took together and those many words of wisdom that we spoke to each other, that he's there. And Lord, I have so many questions, so many unanswered questions, but if I knew all the answers, it wouldn't change anything at this point. So right now, I can't bring him back, as David said about his son, but I can go to him. And I'm sure looking forward to that day. Lord, thank you for the hope in the good old book that we talked about that promises these things. Forgive us where we fail. And I pray right now, if there's anyone that's not sure about their salvation, if there's some mother struggling with raising kids, maybe she doesn't have a husband to help, maybe the husband doesn't help. Lord, I pray this morning the Holy Spirit of God would quicken all of our hearts. And as a church, we support one another. And we would love one another when somebody's trying to help us with our children. Or show us how to be a mother or a father, that we could love one another and not say, mind your own business, but be a church home, a family home that loves each other and wants our darlings, our children to raise up. Our most precious economy we have is our children, our next generation, if you tarry, our next church, if you tarry. Help us to raise them right. In Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as the instruments play for just a moment, we're not going to take a long time, but I want to ask you, if you have any unanswered questions, you don't have to agree with everything I said or the way I said it. That's what I feel from my heart and what I feel God would have me to say. But something's in your heart that's not right, or your life's not right in some way, or your home, and maybe you failed your children, and now you don't know what to do, but you'd like to do something. Just come to this altar and say, God, fill me with the Spirit and help me do what I'm supposed to do. And if you're not saved, say, Lord, I need to get what he's talking about. We'll help you with that. So we're going to wait a few moments for you to come. One day you'll be down to the last 60 seconds of your life before you meet God. One day, that's going to happen to all of us. I want you to think about 60 seconds right now. That's 1 minute. 60 seconds. We're down to 55. Imagine it's 55 seconds of your life here on earth. 55 seconds to do whatever you think you need to do for God. Think about that. We're past 50. Time is clicking off. Time is clicking off.
I've been saved for a couple weeks now, and I would like to be baptized.
Yep. Do you know you're saved?
Yes.
You accepted Christ as your Savior. We're going to pause just a moment and recognize a young lady who came to the platform. She's been coming to our church for a couple of months now. Immediately got into the choir, started singing. And this friend over here bought her. That's what makes a church, friends finding people and bringing them to church. Amen? That's what it's all about. But she's accepted Christ as her Savior already, and she wants to follow the Lord in baptism. She wants to get baptized. I like people who want to go all the way.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to pray about that, Pastor. What are you going to pray about? God said, be baptized. You're going to ask God to excuse you? No, that's how we come say I'm part of the family. and part of the family. We're so glad to have you. All right? Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one verse of that song that we were getting ready to sing there, and then we'll dismiss. But I want you to grab this young lady. Isn't she a beautiful girl? My goodness. My goodness.
Thank you.
God bless you. And God bless you for bringing her. Thank you for coming. We're singing one verse of Did You Think to Pray? 368. I have to tell you one more little short story before you go that sticks in my mind. It was in the 1970s. I hadn't been in this part of the country very long. And up where they used to have the, whatever we call that place up there, the mall or shopping market. It's a redneck shopping mall, right? I guess that's what we call it. But there was a big, I don't know if it was a Ford or Chevy or Dodge, but there was a truck with wheels about that high. And the steps, you had to climb up almost like a ladder. There was a lady. She had a baby bag on this, and she had the baby here, and she was pushing a grocery cart, and there was a guy walking along. He had a belly out like this and a Budweiser sign on it, both hands jammed down in his pockets. And he got right over to his side, and he said, "Come on, old woman." I went over, I grabbed the baby, I grabbed the groceries, I got her arm out, I said, "Lady, there's one gentleman in this parking lot. I'll help you to the truck." He just stared at me. But that's an exact example of what people think manhood is. I dip my snuff, my 30-06. You can carry a 30-06, but you don't know how to pick up a baby? Something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. Really? Amen? That's what I'm talking about. I only do this once a year, and I haven't done it in about 4 years, so I'm filled up with a lot more stuff. Okay? But you get to hear Jeremy tonight. Let's have our prayer, and then we'll go. Brother Roy, would you have our closing prayer?
Assemble ourselves in a house of worship such as this. Father, we